Okay, I got it. Yeah, it was a really good meeting, and they have a website if you want to download them and listen to them. You can do that. Next year, just go there. It's only 7-8 hours drive. We brought back a Canadian mosquito, just in case anybody's curious. Made it all the way back last night, kept it in the car, and then Lori was going to kill it this morning, but I said, no, let's keep it alive and let somebody see it if they want. So it's out there. After the service, I can show it to you. We ran into a brother that's with us in Zhengzhou. His name is Luigi Binucalia. And he's back in Canada for the summer, and he had to get, he needed to do an MRI for his back. He's got back problems. 6 or like 8 months ahead of time, he had to make that appointment so he could get an MRI. And Mrs. Carlson was telling my wife, you know, she has some symptoms. Maybe she thinks it's a thyroid problem. And she told her doctor about the symptoms, and he said, oh, no. No, you're fine. You're fine. And she can't switch her doctor, you know, that she's just stuck with that response, you know. That's the Canadian health system, and if we don't get ours repealed or whatever they're going to try to do or something. Then. Hey, I'm going to do I got to repair my former incision, and I got scheduled in 2 weeks. I scheduled 2 weeks from the time I saw the doctor. How are you going to pay for it? Well, they said, well, guys like me that live outside the country, they have a fund. Maybe they'll pay 50%. Or maybe she said even 100%. So you can pray for that. That's America, right? That's a good system. I don't know if it's going to stay like that. I forgot to ask, brother. Can I preach during my sermon? Because he preached during his last Sunday school lesson. I don't know if you caught, but when he prayed, he said, and pray for the message, not the lesson. He said, pray for the message. Oh, I got to clear this stuff out a little bit because I got, let me see here. I don't have to write on here, but it helps a little bit. Are we okay? Oh, yeah. Another thing, I want to make an application on behalf of the Short Preachers Association of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That would be me, of course, and Brother Lethard, and Brother Grissom, of course. We just want to lower it about 6 inches, will be good, because then we can use almost all of it. I somewhere to start in here on a lesson, and then stop jokes, start the lesson. Okay. Yeah, the Bible verse, right? All right. Let's look at, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. I got a whiteboard, I need a black pen. Let's take a moment to pray and ask the Lord to bless. Lord, we're glad we can just get up and come here in the morning and have a couple of lessons and sing and worship. Pray, Father, maybe that the part of the Christians that are connected with this church that maybe only come to the Sunday services. Pray, Father, you'd work in their hearts and help them to see perhaps as new Christians that a double dose on Sunday would be better than just the single dose, Father. And it's more important to get up and come to Sunday school than it is to get up and go to work on Monday. Lord, we need more and more of Your Word in order that we might walk up pleasing in Your sight. Pray, Father, that You bless us this morning. For Jesus' sake, amen. Yeah, we drove all night. And I wrote my sermon in the car at night, too, so I don't know, it looked pretty good when I was writing it, but we'll see how it goes. They're kind of squiggly and scratchy now that I see it in the daylight. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and the heave offering of your hand and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. So here's the Lord says, I've got a place for you that I've chosen, and when you get there, I want you to do these things. And he says he chose this place. In another place, he said it's a land of milk and honey, and he was going to lead them over there. And it's interesting what the word there, after your, he asks for your sacrifices and their tithes and their offerings. And then he says he also wants their choice vows. Now, normally when we see that word, we more commonly use the word choice as to describe, well, make a choice, right? Decide and then make a choice. But here it's used as an adjective. And it's interesting, we could describe the place that across the Jordan that the Lord has prepared as a choice land, right? The best land that the Lord has prepared for them, a land of milk and honey. If you want to see a place where it's used as an adjective another place, that'd be in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. You can look at that. I guess we'll go over there. Let's see, we usually go till quarter two or something like that. I think we got enough time. Actually, this was a double, triple lesson. I condensed it last night in the car, too. I hope that works. Proverbs chapter 10. And verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. That'd be the best kind of silver. Not just ordinary silver, right? Not just a few extra whatever shekels or whatever, the choice silver, maybe I don't know, maybe the whole thing when it came in or whatever. God has there's good, and then there's the choice, and that's what God said that he gave that to them, and he prepared that for them, and then he said, I want your choice vows. Of course, now the sacrifices that, if you look in the other places, the sacrifices he expects would be also choice, the choice sacrifice, the unblemished one. He wouldn't want you to pick out the halted one, and said he doesn't want that. Now, what would a choice vow be? Okay, because we can make all kinds of vows. What would a choice vow be? That'd be the vow that you consider carefully. It'd be like a solemn commitment, something you've decided and you've decided what would be your best choice, and then you make that choice. It would be a solemn commitment to do what pleases God the most. Okay, because we can reason in our head and say, well, that would be okay. That'd be good enough, but that's not a choice vow. Say, I'm willing to do that, but that's not the choice vow. It should be carefully considered. It wouldn't be a rash vow. You read that word before, rash. People will make rash vows or some other kind of vow. So today, we're going to, for this morning session, we're going to do some things about choices. Okay, we're going to study the idea of choices, making a choice, and some things that are involved in that. Okay. So the first thing, let's, by way of preparation, and just remind ourselves something. There's some things we can and we can't choose, right? There's no sense in thinking too much and trying to decide about something that you really can't change anyways, right? So let's think about some things that we can't really choose. Okay, let's just list a few. For example, you can't choose your race or your color. You can't choose your gender. We'll use that word. You can't choose your gender. What else? Well, you can't choose your looks. You can't choose how good you look, how handsome you are. You can't choose maybe your height, your basic body structure. So we'll say choose your basic body structure. Maybe you tend towards pudginess, maybe you're tall and thin, and so on. You can't choose those things. And now I think there's some certain things about your personality that you can't change. Now, a lot of what we say is, oh, well, he's just that kind of personality. It's just a learned trait. But I think there's a little bit of genetics to that. So I'll put that up there with that qualification. So you don't get confused. You can't really choose your intelligence level, I don't think. I mean, that's kind of fixed by your genes. Some people are just smarter than others, and that's just one, you know, difference between people. Some of you, no matter how hard you try, you'd never be able to be a doctor. Or, you know, if you always thought you wanted to be a doctor, but you don't have the intelligence to go to school and memorize all that stuff. Or be a computer programmer or whatever. I couldn't be one of them. How about some things you can in relation to this, you know? Well, let's see. Oh. Pretty much, even if you can't do anything about that. Although, it seems like, we won't go there. Yo, some people try to change that, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people try to change that. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, dressing it up. You probably should do that, but. I don't know if you ever get into the grocery lines and at the stores, and they got the daily, I forgot what that thing's called. And recently, I've been noticing the horror facelifts. Those articles. Kenny Rogers is now like this, you know, and a couple of the beautiful movie stars from the past now have big lips and stuff like that, and their cheekbones are. What happened? They wanted to change something that they really can't change. They shouldn't be messing. Oh, well, we got money, so we can do it. Yeah, you picked the best guy in California. What happened? Oh, well, that time he messed up. Seems like there's a lot of them getting messed up. Hey, just leave it at makeup and be satisfied with that. You know, nice dress, whatever, nice tie, that's good enough. Your basic body structure, you know, hey, you can't change that. But you might be able to exercise. You know, like for some of these skinny guys here that don't have any muscles, and then when the chance comes around to wear wife beaters, your brother won't let them. You know, so you could exercise, pack on a few pounds. I'll give you a way to do it. You don't even need weights, okay? You just pick some of your normal chores that you do. Like, say, hauling in wood from the pile. And maybe normally it takes you 20 minutes to do that. Do it in 10 minutes, okay? As fast as you can, do it in 10 minutes. And then take a break and eat a hot dog, okay? Or, like washing the car, maybe it usually takes a half hour. Do it in 15 minutes. Just as good a job, right? And do it in 15 minutes. And then take a break and eat a hot dog. Shoveling, same thing. It takes you 40 minutes to shovel the walk normally. Do it in 20 minutes and you'll be and then go in the house and have a hot dog. If you pick one a day and you do it for a whole month, guaranteed to put on a couple pounds. Just try it. Ask your dad. Just give me a list. Give me a list. All the chores I can do as fast as possible in a month. And, you know, you can fix that, you know. Pack on some shoulders there and stuff. Personality. Well, maybe you're a little bit hot-tempered or you react quickly to stuff, okay? But, and maybe that's fixed by your genes, but you could learn patience, right? You could choose to be patient. You could do that one. Hopeless, right? Hey, you could study harder, right? You could learn how to study better, study harder and better. Those are the things you can choose. There's a lot of stuff like that. There's some things you can't choose, but then maybe from another angle, another aspect of it, you could choose and change. So don't be complaining and whining so much about how the set of genes that God gave you is going to keep you from this blessing or that blessing, because there's a lot of stuff you can choose to do that'll make a difference. All right, now I want to talk about a couple elements of choices. Okay, let's go to Haggai. Haggai is right after Deuteronomy. About an inch after, right? Haggai chapter 1. Let's see, verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. And then he repeats that over in verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's one of those double whammy commandments in the Bible. There's a few, not very many. Like, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's in there twice, right, in Luke there. All this stuff about invite the Lord into your life and, you know, write a whole book about purpose-driven life, and you know it's supposed to start off for lost people. If you ever read that book, I did. I'm not saying you ought to. It was floating around in China, so I went and read it. And the first couple chapters, he starts from a lost person's perspective, and he goes along, a couple chapters about salvation, and he just skips over repent. The word is not even in there in the book. Okay, it's not in his plan of salvation. Repent is not there. What's that guy's name? Warren. Yep. Oh, he's not warning you what he needs to be warning you about, that's for sure. Okay. First element I want to tell you about. Choices have a direction element. Okay? Let's say it like that. Well, maybe it's like this. You get there, and it's a T intersection. Maybe you're going along, it's a regular four-way, right? This would be you're going along and you got to make a choice, right? You got to go one way or the other. Sometimes you have a choice between bad and good. It's really obvious. And this is you're going along and you could make a choice, but you don't have to, maybe. You got this one. You're going along, and you could keep going, but you ought to turn off. Okay, there's really just one way you should be, you know, one option there. You probably should take it, or maybe you shouldn't. You're considering that one. You're going along, and maybe it goes like this, a little different than the T intersection. My idea is here that you have two good choices, and so maybe you don't know exactly which one you should take. And then there's a this, and you're going along, and you kind of got this. What's that? That's a shortcut. Is it shorter? Well, you think it's shorter. Maybe the way you got it calculated, it's shorter, right? You know, the Lord's going to take you the long way around, and you've been thinking about it, and hey, I got a better way, and I'll get there faster, right? That's a shortcut. Yeah, there's some good shortcuts. Some of them, they're shorter, but they're not really faster. You ever gone on one of those? I think every choice has a direction element to it. Now you say, oh, well, what about if I just keep going? I just keep going. That's not a choice. That's not a directional element. It's not an intersection. Just keep going. You mean you're going along and keep going. What does that mean? I just keep going. Why are you saying it like that? What you mean is, oh, you had some maybe some conviction in your head, right? And the Lord said, hey, maybe you shouldn't keep going, right? That's why he's saying, keep going, continue. If there was no problem, you wouldn't be even probably even thinking about it. So you had some, maybe had some conviction there, and that would have been something like the Lord saying, hey, you need to turn around and go back the other way. But you just kept going. Now, I'm talking about the direction element, and that would all also include to start or stop doing something or thinking something. We're not just talking about going someplace or not going someplace. It includes to start something, to stop something, or thinking about something. You go to here, you know, I've been thinking this way, but maybe I need to start thinking this way. Or maybe I need to change my thoughts and think about it from the other direction, go the other way. That's one element of choices. Then there's the grade. Like the gradient, like is it uphill or downhill? I mean, we're talking about roads and intersections, right? So if it's in there, or flat, right? Now, what would an uphill choice be? You got to go uphill. What would that be? Something tiring, yeah? Yes, maybe something you've never done before, or something that's going to be harder than another choice. You'd consider that like an uphill choice. Maybe it's something that's against the trend, maybe against the way the world does things. That'd be like an uphill choice. Or maybe it's against your what your family or your friends say, or your classmates or your workmates, against what they say. But what we usually prefer is flatter, right? Flatter's better, smoother, not as tiring, right? I mean, flat's good too. I mean, you can run on a flat surface. You don't need to run along there. But you know what a lot of athletes do in their training, maybe off season, like hockey players and football players and tennis players do it too. Is they'll run, they'll train and they'll run uphill instead of running flat. They'll run up a hill. Or we used to run up the stairs in the school. Or you go out and you run up the bleachers. Why do that? Because you're running, but you're making it harder, and then you're making yourself stronger, right? In a different way than ordinary running. You're building your strength like that. That's an element of choices. I got another one for you. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. We'll give you a few more verses here. Deuteronomy 9, verse 13. Furthermore, 9:13. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. There's the hardness element, the stiffness element. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the road, of course, right? But that has to do with the driver. Go back and see Pharaoh's response. Back in Exodus chapter 7, there's a couple verses there. I'll just read you one. Exodus 7:14, you can write it down. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refused to let the people go. He had a choice to make. He was given a situation. He saw some things. And Moses told him that you better do it this way or this is going to happen. And he refused. He was stiff. Now, Jeremiah puts it a different way. This is really interesting. Because you see the word stiff-necked a lot, right? But how about this? Jeremiah 17. I wrote down the wrong verse. It should be in Jeremiah. I'll write the word for you, and you can look it up later. He writes it like this. He says, stiff-hearted. Stiff-hearted. Unless everything was going fuzzy on me last night or something like that, there's a word in there where he uses stiff-hearted. I'll have to look it up later. Okay, one more. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 2. Ezekiel 2. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Ezekiel 2:4. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. There you go. Not very malleable. That'd be just like the Brother Ingesef was saying. The clay has gotten stiff. He wants to form it, and man, you've got to put just too much pressure on it. It's just too hard. It won't receive the pressure. That's the driver problem. Stiff neck, like if you're driving a mule or something, and you want to get him to turn, but you pull on the reins, and he tightens up his neck, and he's not going to turn. And if you really want to get him to turn, you got to just really pull back, and he still might not turn. He'll go like that, and he'll raise up, but he's not going to respond the way you want. Stiff-hearted, stiff neck. That'll affect the choice that you should make, what direction that you should go, the Lord wants you to go. Here's another element. There's the habit element. The habit element. Now, we have a lot of functions in our body that are completely unconscious. How your liver works and, you know, a lot of your organs is totally unconscious. And then there's some things that they're semi-conscious, right? For example, you're breathing. Normally, it's unconscious. You don't think about how you got to breathe. But if you thought about it, you could slow it down or speed it up. And there's some harder ones, like your heart rate. You can actually, by practicing certain techniques and your blood pressure, and they teach you how to do it. They hook you up to stuff, and you can lower or raise your blood pressure or your heart rate. Normally, it's unconscious. But you can make it conscious. They call them semi-conscious. I think a lot of our smaller sins that we commit are just a result of habit. Or I should say, there's that habit. I shouldn't say just a result of habit. Okay? Because there's choices in there. It's a buildup of choices that makes it a habit. We just talked about the, you know, direct, the idea of an intersection or direct, but it's not just here, right? You get to there. It's also after you choose, and you're going to be going this way, okay? That's what I mean by directional, okay? It's not just an intersection, it's directional. You're going to choose at the intersection, and then you're going to keep going, okay? And that's the idea of it might turn into a habit. For example, being late to church. You're not late to work, but you're late to church. Maybe you're late to work, too. Maybe that's why you don't have a job, right? So, some of these things, what you're going to have to do, if you want a different result, then you get to do it different. And one of the things you have to do is maybe something like this. You need to take something that's just totally become a conscious, unconscious habit, but actually that you need to turn around and make it completely, you have to be conscious of it again. You got to move it from unconscious to conscious. Why am I always late for church? What's going on? What choices am I making along the way that causes me to always be late? Where's it at? Where's that intersection at? What choice am I making? Say, well, my body just moves slow. It's genetic. Me, yeah. My brain is really slow in the morning. It's genetic. Well, then you better choose to get up a little early or something. Or, if I've tried all kinds of stuff over the years, put a bucket of ice water by my bed with a rag in there, and then the alarm goes off, and you reach down there and you grab the sloppy, icy, wet rag, and let's go. It works, but it's tough to do. But you can do that. Now, I'm not talking about psychology techniques, okay? Because you probably need to repent of your habitual sin first and then ask God to help you. and then it'll work. Okay? I'm going to put a reminder in here in this lesson before we go on to the next official point, and that is you can choose what you think. You can choose what you think. If you've read Romans chapter 7, if you've looked at that carefully, and I've talked about that before, you are not your brain. You are not even your heart. You are your soul and your spirit, and your brain and your heart are other parts of your being. And your soul and your spirit can tell your brain what to think. It's just a tool, like your arm. Okay? It's just up here, and there's only one of them instead of four. Arms and legs, right? Not many people have four arms. You can choose what you think. There was a famous guy named Descartes, a French philosopher, and you probably heard this. I think, therefore I am. Right? He thinks that his brain is him. Okay? He believes he's boiled it down to the most basic element, and he's determined his own existence by thinking or realizing that he's thinking. Wow. He's really got it. But what I want to tell you is that if you don't think, you still is. Right? How about a dead skin cell? Does that guy think? Does he think about his existence? But the dead skin cell still exists, right? How about the bugs? Do they think about their existence? They still exist. You probably, well, if you believe a bug's life, then they're thinking about all kinds of stuff. And they got plans and they're making career choices and all those things. A better one would be like this. I stink, therefore I am. Even more basic, right? You are not your brain. You know, sometimes this is a trick. This is a psychology technique. I'll give you this one. You wake up in the morning, and you know, if you're like me, you're hard to get moving. So you go into the bathroom, and you look at yourself in the mirror. You don't have your glasses on yet, of course. Look at yourself in the mirror. Oh, I blink, therefore I am awake. It helps. And then you do some of your positive affirmations and stuff. Try tomorrow morning. You are not your brain. You can choose what you think. Instead of just blowing up in anger and how terrible that person is or this situation is, and just going off the handle in a rage or whatever, you could choose to think about maybe other person's feelings, about how they will feel if you blow up and yell and say stuff that's really bad, right? One time I got in this taxi, and, you know, riding taxis a lot in China. This has never happened to me. I don't know how many times I've been in a taxi. Going along, and some guy, another car cuts this taxi driver off. And this guy just went ballistic. He just starts chasing him and speeding and weaving, and he totally forgot I was in the car. And I was in shock. I wasn't scared that we were going to crash, although there was a few moments where he totally forgot about all other traffic, and we could have crashed. But, I mean, I thought, well, let me see, should I say something to him? But I'll distract him, and then we really will crash. So we went around like that for about 5 minutes. His wife was in the car that day accompanying him, too, and she was trying to get him stopped. He totally ignored her. He just blew up. Next time, you know, somebody cuts you off or whatever, and you're tempted to speed up and cut in front of them or mash on your brakes so they got to back off, maybe you should think, well, that you got one of your kids in the car, right? That wouldn't be too good. Maybe you should think about something else. You can think about something else. Or maybe if you're discouraged, you know, how bad it's going, instead you could think about how many blessings the Lord has given you. How many blessings you have enjoyed. Maybe right now it's not going so good. Maybe it's going really bad. But you've enjoyed blessings. We've all enjoyed blessings in this life if we've been with the Lord more than a short period of time. And I could think about some of the future blessings that we are going to enjoy, right? Especially after we get hauled out of here, there's going to be a whole bunch of blessings. Then you could think about some of those instead. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. How are we doing here? Okay. Deuteronomy 30. Brother Farley did a shouting exercise. He had everyone stand up, raise their arm and say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord," all at once. He made everybody do it. He made it so if you didn't do it, you'd be embarrassed. The idea was some people are just too stiffened to actually say something out loud in church, they would be embarrassed. So what he worked it so if you didn't that time, you'd be embarrassed. So he had the whole church, whoa, it just exploded. It was pretty cool. We won't do it in Sunday school. It's a little early. Maybe we'll save it for, well, that's up to Brother Kyle. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So our choice is life or death, blessing or cursing, right? It's not just, well, maybe I'll do this today. Well, maybe I'll do it this way. It's life or death, blessing or cursing. Well, it doesn't really matter, you know, I can always quit. Yeah, well, while you're saying that, the liver cells are continuing to die, right? They're continuing to die. Or, no, let me see. No, I don't even do that anymore. I can't even do it right. I can't even demonstrate it. I never did that one. Just this one. Well, I know I got to quit sometime, but yeah, you choose not to quit today. Maybe the cancer cells are still growing. And maybe they're only like half cancer cells right now, but you choose that and you choose death, and eventually they'll turn into the big cancer cells that float around and change other cells into cancer cells and stuff like that. Or the scarring along the artery walls will get worse and worse and worse, and, you know, and it gets constricted and constricted and constricted, right? If you choose to keep going where you're going. Or you can choose life and say, this is gotta quit. I'm gonna do it different now. Really, I'm right here. It's not here where I can, well, I could go this way, or I could keep going for a while. Nope. Actually, you're right here. Okay? You need to choose life or death. You need to go this way. You think keeping going straight, you think keep going is actually going straight, but actually it's this. It's going this way. You're at this choice right here. You think it's a choice to keep going, but it's not. It's this one. You go this way or that way. And you can choose to end it right there. And then maybe those liver cells will start to repair, right? Or your immune system will repair itself, and then it'll start eating up those cancer cells that weren't quite cancer cells. They eat them up and bring them down to, you know, the low level, the really low level. Or the scarring will stop and the blood will keep flowing, right? It won't be a problem later on down the line. Blessing or cursing. Maybe what you choose is killing your relationship with your spouse, with your child, with your parent. You say, oh, well, I can always change. Yeah, but there's a buildup, you know. And you probably should turn. Make it a blessing instead of a curse. Maybe right there is the place. Right there. Maybe it's just right there where the blessing or cursing takes place. Remember Romans 8, verse 6? For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's a choice between life and death. Consider your ways, Haggai said. Said it twice. Must be really important. I'll give you a, try to break it down a little bit more for you. Well, I know I should quit, or I know I should start. So you've already decided that, right? You've already thought about it. But, I mean, one last time won't make any difference because I can always quit or start next time, right? Consider what that choice is, okay? If I say that this time, what does that mean? Then the next time, I can say it again, right? One more time, this time, also means when I get past that to the next time, I can say one more time. If I said it this time, I can say it again next time. Think about your choice. Or, I've decided. I've got to make this choice. I've decided, okay? So, the last time is already past. The last time is already past. There is no more, well, I can or I cannot one more time, okay? I can only go this way. Maybe we want to draw it like that. I can only go that way. There is no this, okay? Scratch that out. Consider your ways. So many times we don't really examine what we're doing because it's become like a semi-conscious habit. You just keep going through the motions. You thought about it a little bit, but then you won't examine why you do it every time the same way. Think about it. If I say it, I can do it one more time, well, then the next time I can say it again. And you know what? I'm just going to keep going, going, and going. Because if I do this, I'm going to do it next time. Unless the Lord slams me, right? Or I become incapacitated and I can't. That happens, right? The Lord makes a choice for you, which sometimes is better than us not making a choice. Every choice has a end or like a terminus way down the road. So if I go this way, eventually I'm going to get here. It's not just this. It's not this intersection here or the steps that will follow that you will go this direction, but eventually it's a terminus right there. But did you know there's only two? There's only two terminuses. Now, we've drawn a bunch of different, and actually, we got two choices on every time, but, I mean, there could be more, right? If you got a T-section, there could be a bunch of others. We got some weird intersections in Zhengzhou. I don't even like to draw them. You get there, and it's like this, and you can go this way, and you should see how they try to do the lights. You can walk this way during that light, but you can't walk this way. You get the idea. But actually, there is only two. There is only two endpoints. One of them is towards God, and the other one is towards yourself. The other one is the road to love and serve God, and the other choice is the final end is just to love and serve yourself. One way is to love others through Christ, your family or whatever, or the lost people around you, and the other one is just to love yourself. There are no aimless choices, really. You just do this and do that. Well, today, just some people, they live their whole life, well, I'm just a relaxed guy. You know, I'm just not that serious. You know, I just don't believe in, some people, they just got to push. They're workaholics. Yeah, maybe. But you're a recreationaholic, whatever. Aimless choices, there's no such thing as aimless choices. Aimless means no goal, right? Every choice you make has an end, terminus, has a goal, whether you're actually thinking about it that hard or not. You're going to go there. And you're actually, back in your head, in some place in your heart, you got that target. That's where you're going. You make the choice like that. That's where you're going. Okay, we're in Deuteronomy 30 here. Let's finish this up. Deuteronomy 30, and let's look at verse 20 then. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. Make him your, if you want life, then you have to make him your goal, your aim, and every choice. And the length of thy days. Sometimes we think, well, I can go along this way for a long time, it won't matter. But actually, it won't be that long, because the drop-off is right there. The cliff is right there. You're just going to keep going, and you thought you could keep going. It's like, no. Length of thy days is making the Lord your aim. That thou mayest dwell in the land. That thou mayest dwell in the land. Now he said that a little different than Deuteronomy 12. Now, in both of these places, they haven't gone into the land, so it's still future, but in Deuteronomy 12, the future part is really emphasized. For example, when ye go over Jordan, right? Verse 11, then there shall be a place, and God will choose to cause his name to be there. And when you get there, give him your choice vows. But then he, verse 10, right at the end, so that ye dwell in safety. But then over here in Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, which is what I'm trying to get at, he says, that thou mayest, he adds on the mayest. The idea is, when you get there, and you want to stay there, and you want to continue to receive the blessings, the Lord will help you get there. And hey, when we came to the place of salvation in a clean start, the Lord did all of that, right? And a new fellowship and a new creature and a child, a relationship with the Father, as a child, his own family, he brought us there. Okay, we didn't really have to do anything except to repent and receive him. But now he says that thou mayest dwell in the land. When you get there, you need to make those choice vows. And you'll stay, you'll dwell in the land, that you may dwell in the land. Make those choice vows. How about Hebrews chapter 12 there? It says, you ever memorize that one, verse 2? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How does that go? Who for the joy that was set before him. Well, he had a good choice there. Wow, here's a choice. I can choose joy. I'll take that. We'd all say that, right? But, that choice meant he first had to go up a hill, right? That road wasn't so easy. He chose to go up the hill. And he endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he has that joy, and he's set at the right hand of the throne of God. All right? Let's bow and we'll just close in prayer. Lord, you've given us the ability to examine ourselves and consider our ways, and we're no longer just flesh, controlled by our flesh, but now you put your spirit in us, and we can consider independent of our flesh, and with the help of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit in us, help us to use the tools that you've given us, especially the word of God, to make the right choices and cleave to you, that we may dwell in the land, that you continue to bless us, and that we might have life and transmit life. Ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, we'll take our break then.